In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking again today about the trials of singleness. I had a letter from a medical student, 22 years old, who had never had a Christ-centered relationship. She said, "I am completely inept at beginning a relationship." Well, I too would have been in that category if my mother had not taught me that it was not my business to begin a relationship. I think I was about 13 years old when my mother said to me, "Never chase boys, and always keep them at arm's length." Well, this medical student says, "I intimidate men. I am 6 feet tall. Every time I walk into a room, I am searching, watching, hoping for Mr. Right. I can't conquer that desire to be needed as a girlfriend." That's the end of the quotation, but I am convinced that when a woman initiates a relationship, she is out of order. And where do I get an idea like that? Well, I got it out of the Bible. You know, Eve was made to be a helper to Adam. He was made to be the initiator. She was made to be the responder. Now, that's one scripture that you might not think is very powerful in giving that message. But in Ephesians 5, we have a very clear and unequivocal message about the difference between a man and a woman. Christ is the head of his church. The husband is the head of a wife, as Christ is head of the church. And the wife is in a subordinate position. That doesn't mean she's worth less, any more than Christ is worth less than his Father, or the Holy Spirit is worth less than Christ himself. But there is a hierarchy, there is an order. And God's order is that men should be the initiators and the providers and the protectors and the husbands, and that women should be the responders and those who have the attitude of Mary. "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it happen as you say." And my heart does go out to this dear woman, 22 years old, 6 feet tall, who wishes that she could find Mr. Right, searching, watching, hoping. And I don't think you can necessarily stop hoping and searching. I would certainly hope that your watching is as circumspect as you can possibly make it be. But daily, bring those deep desires and perfectly natural desires under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. She says, "I'm working on trying to satisfy myself completely and wholly with God's love. I constantly turn all of my thoughts, hopes, feelings that I have for men, specific and in general, to God. Yet I am still anxious, still unsatisfied. Is this normal? I was wondering if you had any insight as to how I can be satisfied with my singleness, and how I can establish relationships with Christian men without appearing desperate for an exclusive relationship." I would answer the first question, how can I be satisfied with my singleness, by believing that God will not withhold any good thing. Psalm 84:11 says, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Our job is to walk uprightly. It's God's job to choose whether he gives us a husband or a wife or any other what appears to us to be good thing, because only God knows if it's a good thing. And as for how she can establish a relationship with Christian men without appearing desperate, don't try to establish any one-to-one relationship. Let the men do the initiating. Otherwise, you will appear desperate. A girl who asks a guy out, or calls a man, or writes him a sweet little note to find out how he feels about her, he knows she's desperate. She goes on to say, I know the Lord has a great plan for me, whether single or married. But I think my wants and needs in the context of a relationship are in my way of being exclusively satisfied with the love of God. Well, she's absolutely right about that. She has put her finger on the crucial problem. Her wants and needs in the context of a relationship are in the way of being exclusively satisfied with the love of God. You have to choose one or the other. Do I sound glib? Do I sound heartless? I know how hard it is to choose. I know what it was like when I was desperately desiring a husband. And I remember when that man that I was most earnestly hoping God would give me for a husband told me that he loved me, and then told me that perhaps he was going to remain single for the rest of his life. I had to go not only to the scriptures, but to some of Amy Carmichael's poems. One, for example, that says, Lord crucified, O mark thy holy cross on motive, preference, all fond desires, on that which self in any form inspires, set thou that sign of loss. And when the touch of death is here and there laid on a thing most precious in our eyes, let us not wonder. Let us recognize the answer to this prayer. St. Francis de Sales says, let us humble ourselves, I beseech you, and plead only our sores and miseries at the gate of the divine mercy. But remember to plead them with joy, comforting yourself in being completely empty and completely single, that our Lord may fill you with his kingdom. Be mild and affable with everyone, except with those who would take away your glory, which is your wretchedness and your perfect singleness. I glory in my infirmities, says the apostle, and it is better for me to die than lose my glory. You must carefully guard your misery and your littleness, for God regards it as he did that of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Man seeth those things that appear, but the Lord beholdeth the heart. If he sees our littleness in our hearts, he will give us great graces. Be then joyously humble before God, but be joyously humble also before the world. Be very glad that the world takes no account of you. If it esteems you, mock at it gaily, and laugh at its judgment, and at your misery that is judged. If it esteems you not, console yourself joyously, because in this, at least, the world follows truth. If you keep God's company, you will learn God's disposition. Have a great and long-suffering courage. Do not lose it for mere noise. The noise of words, the noise of people's judgments and criticisms. Our enemy is a great clatterer. Do not trouble yourself at all about him. He cannot hurt you, I well know. Mock at him and let him go on. Do not fight with him. Ridicule him, for it is all nothing. He has howled round about the saints and made plenty of hubbub. But to what purpose? In spite of it all, there they are, seated in the place that he has lost, the wretch. Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. I'm sure that many divorces have happened because people have dug their own cisterns. They have not sought the will of God in getting married. And of course, another reason, although they did seek the will of God, and it was indeed the will of God that they marry this particular person, they have forsaken God, the fountain of living water. They are not drinking of that living water daily, and so they are losing touch with God and becoming disobedient and discontent and they're saying my husband doesn't fulfill my needs, or my wife does so and so and so and so, or she doesn't do this or that or the other thing. And the answer for them is divorce. But God hates divorce. But I'm talking to singles. Let me repeat once again the little poem, sort of, that I read yesterday, and see if this describes the state of your heart and your attitude toward God. I am willing to receive what you send, to lack what you withhold, to relinquish what you take, to suffer what you inflict, to do what you command, and to be what you require. Grace hath no handicap. Christ sets us free for all he'd have us do or have us be. Fully equipped in him all through our days, he giveth victory. To him be praise. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 12:9. It might be helpful for you to look up that verse and memorize it. 2 Corinthians 12:9.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.